So in terms of practical issues, and of course, I guess one practical issue is going to be reimbursement, FDA approval, et cetera. Yes. But sort of putting that aside, if you have a patient right now, or maybe you've had some since ASCO, where you think you can get it paid for or the patient will pay for, do you think that cetuximab is a reasonable non-protocol option to offer to a patient? Have you offered it?
I have, not very often, because I think this is still evolving, and where it's going to fit, we need to think about a little more. I think there are several patients that aren't even eligible or shouldn't be treated with bevacizumab or Avastin who could benefit from cetuximab with chemotherapy. The squamous patients, to give one example, those patients perhaps who have a history of thromboembolic phenomena or on active anticoagulation, there's really not a contraindication to cetuximab in that group. So I think
hemoptysis?
Perhaps even hemoptysis, yes. So again, it looks as though there's a larger number of patients that might be treated with cetuximab and chemotherapy than with bevacizumab, which at least in my group, in our group, it's a minority of lung cancer patients, about 40%.
You know, I interviewed Dr. Perker, who presented these data, and he actually was trying to make an argument that it should be a consideration even in patients who would have been eligible for bevacizumab. I don't know, how do you feel about that?
Well, the data would support that that's very reasonable. But again, how do you choose? That's a real important practical question. How do you choose these products? Which one should you use and which patient? I think this will clear itself up more as time goes on. In my opinion, the use of cetuximab will probably be restricted in the future to the enriched group of patients. And what I mean by that is the ones that have the molecular target that cetuximab really works against. I don't think it works in other patients. I don't think it adds anything.